Cap and Company.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN _ Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000, 10 o'clock, just after in the great city of Chicago, but we are reeling here, reeling, as many cities are around the United States. I hope you're safe. I hope you're healthy. Still are also dealing with a pandemic. We have just got a lot going on in our lives, and this has to be the flashpoint for change. Has to be. I said before we came on, back from break, this guy's family to me. He literally is. He is. I love him dearly. And he is doing great work out in Bristol. He's actually celebrating his anniversary with his awesome wife, Shay Pepler. But Jordan Cornette found time for us today. Jordan, good morning. How are you?
Cap, I've been doing better, like most everybody out there, for reasons that may differ, reasons that may be the same, but it's a really tough time, and in this time, I think we need to educate. We need to find awareness. We need to understand, and we need to have dialogue.
And you know, I said something at the start of the show. You're out of town, so you probably weren't listening. That dialogue can be uncomfortable, but it's something that we need to do. We need to have those uncomfortable conversations, and I quoted from C.S. Lewis, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Is this the flashpoint finally that will open people's eyes?
It depends on where we go from here. Is it just in vogue right now for people to have their voice heard, to talk about the tragedy, to talk about how despicable the plight of people with color is? Or is this something that's going to push on? Is this something that's going to, the next time a Colin Kaepernick situation comes up, it's not going to be politicized. It's not going to be criminalized. It's not going to be ostracized. And a person's not going to be alienated. How are we going to do it, Cap, in the times when it's not comfortable? A lot of people took notice when Michigan Avenue started to burn, and that's horrible. That is horrible. I do not condone any of that. But that made a lot more people start to talk. Is it right? Absolutely not. It's completely wrong. But I also think understanding is what we're also here for as well. And to understand that the majority of those people that were out there had an agenda that was not the agenda of those that are protesting for change. There's a faction of people out there that were doing things to capitalize, to be opportunistic, and to go do criminal things. But also understand, people need to understand that there's also the voice of the unheard. And Martin Luther King famously said, which I know a lot of people have heard recently, rioting is the language of the unheard. Is that condoning it? Again, absolutely not. But understand that some people are so fed up, so confused, so tired of their voice not being heard, that they're acting with rage, and that's desperation. And we need to understand that some people are that desperate where they're not being reasonable because they're so frustrated. At your heightened most point of frustration, I'm sure you've done unsavory things. That's not giving anybody a pass for these riots. It's just that's the level of frustration for some people, and we need to try to understand. We need to try to change this stuff. What's going on in the city of Chicago and across the country isn't right, but it comes from a place of being fed up and so overly frustrated.
Somebody called in and said, why should it be that if I'm getting pulled over for a speeding ticket, okay, let's go, write me my ticket, let me go on my way. He said, I'm an African-American, and I break out into a sweat. Oh, God, where is this headed? And you once said that to me, that, Cap, love you, and we are as close can be, but you don't know what it is like to be looked at because of your color and be fearful of where it might lead. Is that right?
Yeah, that's very accurate, Cap. I grew up in a household with two working parents. I grew up middle class. I grew up very blessed, very lucky. This does not discriminate amongst black people in their level of achievement, their level of education. this tone of their skin color, for crying out loud. If you are black and you are driving and you get pulled over, that is a real fear for any of us, no matter what we've achieved in this world, no matter what we haven't. Just the simple pigment of our skin makes us wonder, how is this going to go? To be in a car with my wife, to be in a car with my son, and for them to see fear in me when I try to show no fear in anything. But understand that that's outside of my control, my life. And people will be rolling their eyes as they listen. That's because they don't understand. They don't live it. This is something that the very being of me being is something that I have to carry every day with a weight on my shoulders of perception of everything. Walking down the street, people walk to the other side pre-COVID just because they're scared. He's 6'8". He's black. He's dangerous. Having to walk through this world as a black man being looked at differently from jump is something that people can't understand. But with these conversations, maybe they can. And for those out there who say, I don't see race, you should. You need to, because it's a part of our life. It's part of how we live. It's understanding and trying your best to understand so we can impact change. Cap, this is a sports radio show, so I like to bring this part of sports into it. The outrage that I have, and I tweeted this about a week ago, and it's starting to gain traction other places from other people with their own individual thoughts. But for college coaches, these white college coaches who go into the houses of kids of color, to bring them into their university, to pad their pockets, make them rich, establish their careers, and establish generations of wealth. And yet so many of these coaches aren't saying a damn thing. Aren't saying a damn thing publicly. This was a public crime. This was a very public. We saw a man die publicly. And these are the same coaches that can get out there and talk about name, image, and likeness. They can talk about when sports will return. They can talk about the transfer rule. But you can't talk about George Floyd. What it means to the plight of those young men who make you rich really feels like this thing is rigged. It's a really messed up feeling, man. And in the sport I work in, pisses me off. And that's where the rage part comes from. And that's just one, that's a small part of this. Are you kidding me? I watched another black man die at the hands of an officer who had a badge and felt like he was protected. He saw a camera on him. And yet still he knew, man, in a court of law, they'll understand. He's not of the same value as my life. That's where rage comes from, and people need to understand that's why we're angry. And just because you may not be black, just because you may not be a black man, it's black women, it's people of color, it's minorities. And Cap, I'm not going to get on a soapbox here, but you guys having me on means a great deal. But ESPN 1000 needs to take a look at themselves. How many diverse voices do you have in the city of Chicago speaking on things? In the city of Chicago, covering all these black athletes, in a city with so many black people, and I love every one of you there, but how are we being represented? Look at the Rooney Rule. Look at what we were talking about before George Floyd. Incentivizing to give black people opportunity? That's this world? It starts in our own homes. ESPN 1000 needs to look within their own home and start to make change themselves. Or how can you take it serious? It's real like that. And I know maybe that's not what you guys thought I was going to come up here and say, but that's the world right now. That's it. That's real. That's the message.
Yeah.
That's the message, Cap.
When you and I spoke over the weekend, I said to you, look, there's a special place in hell for Derek Chauvin. There is. He's a horrific person. How he got to the level to still be on the police force after all the other stuff in his career, I don't know. But he's horrible, but I'm also equally troubled that the other three officers stood there and watched this.
Cap,
that's where our society is.
Amy Cooper in Central Park.
Yep.
Calling and threatening Christian Cooper, a birder, a person who watches birds and appreciates God's gifts on this earth, was threatened. And then called the police and said, my life's in danger. This man is, I'm in danger, help. Because she knew that the Derricks of the world may answer those calls and be the ones that show up to help Christian. That's what she hoped for. And let me also say, because stereotyping is so reckless, don't stereotype every police officer out there. I know a million of them, white, black, male, female, all different colors. They're great people.
Yeah.
They protect this country. There's a lot of great ones out there. But this is systemic. this is something that needs to be weeded out, and examples need to be made of that police officer whose name I will never say after what I just did there, because it enrages me so much to think that man thought he could get away with what he did. He gives police officers a bad name, but there are several like him out there, and it goes above him and how he is convicted or not convicted, the sentence he is given. Throw the book at him like you do a black man who had a little bit of marijuana on him in years past. Give him the sentence that a black person will get for any crime that they will commit. Then we start to see change.
So
this is not a political issue. This is not a black-white issue. This is racism. Everybody should have issue with what they saw. Every single person.
Yeah, I thought that the comment, it might have been from Doc Rivers, but I've read and watched so much this weekend. He said it's not a black-white issue. It is a human issue. And I thought that was a perfect way to put it.
And like we've seen with so many causes out there, and I don't know one more critical than this, but we've seen it with all types of movements. If it doesn't directly impact somebody's life, look, we're tribal by nature. We want to protect our own. This is our own. This is your fellow brother. This is your fellow sister. Like, we can't progress as a civilization if we're not treating everybody the way they deserve to be treated. My wife posted a video on social media, Shay, of a little black girl who was pleading to her local government to have a chance in this world. She had to be 7 or 8 years old. I don't know many 7 or 8 year old white kids that are pleading to have a life when they're older. That is generations of understanding that no matter where it goes, there's a ceiling for us. And that's a shame. And that's the kind of thing that breaks your heart, because, you know, my parents have lived with it. The parents before them have lived with it. What's going to be the generation that truly sees change? That's what I hope for. I got a 12-year-old boy. The questions he's asking me, it's sad. People see what's going on in the world. And I'm no preacher, man. I'm as flawed as anybody. I feel uncomfortable even trying to preach. But it's such an important thing. I just want people to understand, and you, Danny, Chris, the guys I work with every day, I know what your guys' heart is. And for you guys to have me on and allow me to speak, I know you guys want change. But we need more people like you. I mean, the message Danny sent me the other day, and Cap, the conversations we've had, I know Danny doesn't want people to know about that, but the message he sent me brought me to tears. I showed it to my son. That's the kind of love we need out there in the world. That's what we need.
Jordan, love you dearly, and wish you were sitting next to me right now. I give you a hug, even though we're supposed to stay socially distanced. I would. I think you're an amazing human being, man. And my best to your wife, Nick Carter, and your parents, and look forward to seeing you sometime soon. But thank you for taking a few minutes for us. I know how busy you are, and just to have you on and get your perspective was amazing.
I love you very much for giving me the platform, guys, and I just challenge you to keep having the conversations. Through it comes a lot of understanding, and that's where we start. That's the origin of change.
We have to keep talking, though. It can't be. I remember after 9/11, everyone was nice to everybody, and then 3 months later, we were back to being, you know, the same jackasses that were too busy with their own lives. I'm hoping that between the pandemic and what we have seen the last 7 days, that it is the jumping off point for systemic change. I'm hoping.
Yeah, absolutely. And while I got 1 second, I'd like to give a shout out to my guy, Mark Silverman, man. We're Sylvie Strong. Our shirts get here today. I love that man dearly as well. And that's another fight that the Cornette family is all in on as well.
You're the best. We look forward to seeing you soon. Happy anniversary.
All right. Love you guys.
All right. We'll see you, pal. That's my guy, Jordan Cornette. Love that guy dearly. 312-332-3776. We'll go back to your calls. Doug Glanville talks baseball and more with us coming up at 11 o'clock. It's Cap and Company. We'll be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Thank you, Jordan Cornett. Love you. 312-332-3776. 312-332-3776. Hey, congratulations to a good friend of our show, a good friend of mine, Adam Amin, officially named this morning the new TV voice of the Chicago Bulls, and they could not have made a better choice. Couldn't have done better. The guy's awesome. He is phenomenal. So really excited to hear what he brings to Bulls broadcasts. 312-332-3776. Lawrence is over on the south side. He's next. Hey, Lawrence.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to say this is a wonderful thing that you folks are doing, being able to have a discussion about the racial situation that we're dealing with. That's what it boils down to. Let's just be honest about it. I was raised half my life on the South Side, and then I moved into Lincoln Park and was fortunate enough to be put into a LaSalle Language Academy in Lincoln Park High School, where we were taught to pretty much learn how to get along with each other and understand each other's differences. So I learned to love all people, and I thank God for that. But to be honest with you, I'm frustrated as any other black person out here, because over the course of so many years, the just injustices that they do as far as the police department to you, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, I'm saying as far as like being pulled over consistently, I recently got pulled over consistently, like, you know, within like maybe 6 or 7 times in 1 month, and then ended up going to jail that night. And I'm not a person that commits crimes, but I end up going to jail because I protested being pulled over for no reason constantly. So I end up going to jail that night for what they called obstruction or whatever. And, you know, spending the night in jail, my frustrations, I didn't loot or anything over the weekend, but I felt like I could do something like that because of the frustration that I was having to go through all of these injustices. And if I name them to you, if you're a white person and you listen to me tell you the stories that I've been through, you would think I was lying. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
And it's got to change. It has to. And, you know, we can have all the flowery tweets and eloquent this. It's got to, at some point, it's got to translate. It just has to.
And you're absolutely right. Because what it's going to take is understanding other people. Like I said about, you know, growing up in Lincoln Park, a melting pot. I had to understand, you know, why disco sucks, rock sucks. I had to understand that whole concept, you know what I'm saying, of why are these people so different from me and why are they seeing me different, you know what I'm saying? And until we figure that out, you know, about our differences, we're going to have the same scenario over and over again. I foresee another riot happening if they acquit this guy, and nobody wants that.
Well, please stay safe, please stay healthy, and please keep listening. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, too. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. There's Lawrence, 312-332-3776. Zach's up in Wrigleyville. Hey, Zach, what's up?
Hey, Cap. Big fan of the show.
Appreciate
you. Love listening. Appreciate you. And I think the thing I appreciate the most, you know, I'm 30 years old. I'm a white male. I come from a lot of privilege. And I think the thing that I like the most about you starting this conversation is I think it's on us. I think it's on people like you, people like me. If we want systemic change, it's people of privilege who really need to help this cause. And I think you're doing a great job of that on the show. I love listening to Cornette. It brought me to tears. I hate what's going on right now, but I'm with you in that. We need systemic change, but, you know, I think it's a reminder for those of us who don't have to worry about the things that Cornette shared, who don't have to worry about walking my dog down the street or driving and getting pulled over. It's on us to help create that change.
Well, I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. Have a great day, okay?
Thanks. You too, Cap.
All right. See you, man. 312-332-3776. Matt Nagy was on with Golic and Wingo this morning. I got a couple things I do want to play. We are also a sports show, and I do want you to hear what Matt had to say this morning. 312-332-3776. UPS Joe's in Elmwood Park. He's a great friend of the show. Hey, Joe, what's up, man?
What's happening, Captain? You know me. I'm usually probably more positive than you.
Easy now. Slow down.
All right. Well, not by much, Cap, but I am, and you inspire me to be that way.
Thanks.
However, 99% of the people in any profession are fantastic. The 1% in every profession, UPS drivers, radio announcers, policemen, there's jackasses. But please, Cap, and you know your pal and my brother's down there, 12, 14 hours a day, getting spit on, getting urine thrown on him. Let's acknowledge these guys, because 99% of these guys, and all my brother ever wanted to be, was help society. And it's bad down there, Cap. So let's acknowledge these guys, because 99.9% of them, or 99.5% of them, are doing a hell of a job, Cappy. Love you, pal.
You too, and well said. Absolutely. There are some bad apples, but the overwhelming majority want to do the right things. But it still has to start with change. Grassroots change. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Calvin on the south side of the city. He calls all the time. Hey, Cal, what's up, man?
Oh, man, Cap Daddy, how you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Man, I'm good, man. Like I said, Cap, you're one of the greatest figures on sports, man. I've been talking to you for a while, man. But the truth is, like I always say, Cap, when you're honest, you're secure with yourself. And like I was telling, I tell my kids, I say, look, man, as young black men, I have to tell you the truth. And to be honest with you, you're going to get discriminated against. Like, I've been stopped by police, had guns, and, you know, the whole nine yards. You know, I tell them we got to get over it and be cool. But the thing is the outcry of so many years of it, Cap. And it's not you address it, but it's the people at on top that have the vocal how to be able to get things done that are not doing things and have that capability. And it's like they let it just sit there in anguish. And then it makes people who are, I have good white friends and good colored friends of all races, it makes them look bad. And they're not presenting that light because they do a lot of good for people. But it's getting overshadowed because these people are in positions that are just looking down upon people of color. And you know the right things, and you teach your family to do the right things. But why these people are not being held accountable? That's just the issue, you know, Cap. If people can start being held accountable and treat people fair, things will get back to being better. And like I say, the right mind frame within you will blossom to a lot more prep, you know, positivity. But, Cap, man, I always listen to your show, man. You know how it is, Cap Daddy, man. You do things smooth.
I appreciate you, Calvin.
Appreciate you, man.
You got it. Have a great day, okay?
All right.
That's our guy, Calvin, calls all the time. Bill is in Montgomery. Let's get him in here, and then I want to play some of this Matt Nagy. Hey, Bill, what's up, man?
Well, I wasn't going to read it. I posted this on Facebook over an hour, hour and a half ago. And I wasn't going to read it, but Danny said I should. And what I posted was, as an older white guy, I'll never understand the social inequity that my brown and black friends go through on a daily basis. From wondering why they might be getting pulled over to the inequity of the kind of health care they and their families get. The reason I got on the diversity council at my job was to hopefully make a small difference in our understanding in the future of the inequality of both workplace and home life. I'll truly never get over how in these times we cannot have meaningful change in dialogue. I could go on, but my heart is heavy that these things still need to be addressed. To all my friends and friends, please be safe, and I hope things might change incrementally. However small or large it happens, let's just hope they do. And the sad part is, We have people in Washington, D.C. that have not spoken out, but have had hateful tweets. And do you think they would go on a national broadcast and address this? But they haven't, and they won't. So it's just sad, and we shouldn't have to be going through these times. But for 400 years, our black and brown friends have had this social inequity, and until somebody stands up and addresses it in a national forum as a leader of our country, or our Senate, or our Congress, things will keep going on as they were.
Well, I appreciate you, Bill. Appreciate you listening always. Appreciate you calling. Have a great day, a safe, healthy week, and thank you for sharing your thoughts. 312-332-3776. We'll take quick time out. Got a couple more calls, but I want to play some Matt Nagy as well. and Jeff Passan on how the owners will view the latest player's proposal. We will talk some sports as well. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Cap, Cap, Cap. This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
With Danny and Chris, I'm Cap. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. You got a comment, question, thought? We're going to hear from Matt Nagy, who was on the Golic and Wingo show today. And Chris cut up some good audio of what Matt had to say. And then Jeff Passan on the players' proposal back to the owners. Just get it freaking done, would you please? Got so many other things to worry about in our world. And you guys sound as selfish as you can possibly sound. Both sides. Well, we got to get this. Oh, no, we got to get that. Just shut your mouths and let's get it done so we get our baseball back. 312-332-3776. Chad's in Roscoe Village, though. Hey, Chad, what's up, man?
Hey, Catman, how are you, brother?
I'm hanging in there, kid. How are you?
Yeah, it's just we're living in such a weird time. You know, my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, had problems over the weekend. We saw our neighbors in the north in Milwaukee and Minneapolis, and I'm in a bar business, and it's just crazy. We're trying to get through COVID-19, and now we're dealing with this. And, you know, I work in the sports bar business, and I'm chaining up doors at night instead of looking forward to going forward. And it's just an awful time to try to be doing things. And I appreciate you giving me a voice to talk about that, and I appreciate the way you're treating your show today because it's important. And the real pandemic is actually in front of us, and it's a shame.
What is the name of your bar?
I work at the Old Plank in Logan Square.
The Old Plank, and you have food?
Yeah, we have great food.
Okay, so I'm going to make sure that on my way home this week, do you do lunch?
Yes, we do lunch.
Okay, on my way home one day this week, I'm going to come by the Old Plank, and I'm going to get my lunch that day.
That would mean the world to me, and just want everybody to know we're behind everybody, and you know, wasn't trying to plug the place at all, but just as somebody that's been in the business for a long time, it's just a shame that as we try to get through all this, that now we're dealing with these other things, and you know, it's hard to go forward when we're taking a step backwards.
100%, I will be by the Old Plank. Are you working every day this week?
I'm working most days. If I'm not there, I hope I see you the next time.
I look forward to getting to meet you, Chad, and I'll see you at the Old Plank. Thanks, man.
Love you, Cap.
You too. Thanks again.
Take care.
Appreciate you. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Jordan's in Romeoville. Hey, Jordan, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Cap? Great show.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, just letting people know this stuff has been going on for ages, man. In the 1980s, I'm a Mexican American. My little brother was outside. He was about 17 years old, drinking in front of a house. He was drinking up. The cops stopped by. They got confrontation with them. They took him and they basically beat him up. Took him in the back of the alley, beat him up. They did not arrest him. They just beat him up, put him in the back of the truck, scared him half to death, and they let him go. And they just took off. This stuff has been going on for years and years, Cap. But nobody reports, because back then we didn't have cell phones. We didn't know what was going on. You know, and we were scared half to death of my little brother. We were never going to see him again. That's basically what they did. Took him behind an alley, beat him up, and they let him go. You know, this starts at the top. You know, unfortunately, Donald Trump, instead of, you know, coming out and saying, you know what, we're going to prosecute these guys according to the law, he's making it worse by bringing up stuff from back from the 60s and 80s that he's going to put dogs on people, that he's going to shoot people. This guy is not right. It starts from the top. You know that. In order to change something, you got to change it from the top.
I appreciate
your time.
But sometimes if the top isn't paying attention, then we have to do what's called grassroots and change it there.
Oh, correct. I agree 100%. It has to stop, you know, but it has to start at the top. If you don't change the top, it's not going to change. That's why these people are doing what they're doing. And they have every right to sue. And when I was growing up as a kid, I was getting beat up every other week by white kids. You know, I put up with it and I made it through. I'm an adult now. I was able to survive. But it happens all the time. It's just that before we didn't see it as much because now we didn't have any phones back then.
Yeah, it's a different world today with cell phones. Stay safe, okay, Jordan?
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Appreciate you. 312-332-3776. We'll take one more. Chris in Galewood, and then I want to play Matt Nagy. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Cap. How's it going? Thank you so much for setting up the conversation today. It's great that you're doing this.
Appreciate that. I appreciate you listening.
Oh, I love the show. I just wanted to say, you know, I've worked with the Chicago Cubs, and I noticed every day since I started there, I'm a young Latino millennial, I'm 26, and, you know, there is no diversity within the front office. I sit in the meeting, and I look at 14 other faces that all have similar backgrounds, all have the same type of ideologies, and it just really sucks that even in higher places, we aren't getting diverse voices. We aren't reaching out to the communities and to the people that we really need, and I don't know, it just breaks my heart to, you know, to see all this, especially for a city that I love. And I really just wish that we had the opportunity to hear more voices. And I'm so glad Jordan said everything that he said.
Yeah, Jordan's an exceptionally eloquent person. Appreciate your call, Chris. Have a good day, okay?
You too. Thank you.
All right. See you, man. 312-332-3776. So Matt Nagy, to talk a little football, Matt Nagy was on with Golic and Wingo this morning, and the question was asked about the changes he made this offseason.
So at the end of the year, just reflecting on the very first thing I did when the season ended is I just went back and say, well, if I could change something or if I could do something different, starting with myself, what would it be? Where did it start? And that's right away what my mind went to. And you know what it was, guys? It was the word toughness is what hit my brain right away. I didn't think you know, collectively, all of us, I'm not just saying players, I'm saying coaches too, everybody. I don't feel like we were as tough as we were in 2018. And so that doesn't always just mean physically, but mentally too. Well, when you don't play your guys in the preseason, and there was reasons behind that, but when you don't play them, then there's a little bit of a, you know, you just don't, to me, you don't have that same mentality in training camp. Your guys aren't getting those reps in the preseason. And I just reflected on that. And I was upset that I did that. And again, that's where I start with that right there. So our guys have been told loud and clear that they're coming in to whenever this does start in training camp, this is going to be a physically demanding training camp and it's going to be mentally challenging. And, you know, people talk about it, but this is something that we're going to do. So as long as our players know that going into it and they're training hard right now and we're smart about it, then I think that's going to make us a lot better team in 2020 just from the start right there.
Pretty indicting. Danny, when you hear the head coach say that we weren't mentally tough or we weren't tough enough, how does that happen on an NFL football team?
I don't know. When I heard that this morning during the Golic and Wingo show, my head kind of spun. First of all, last year wasn't the first year he didn't play his guys in the preseason. So the year before, they went, what, 12-4?
Correct.
They almost made it to the NFC Championship game. They were mentally tough enough with not playing in the preseason. Last year, they didn't play in the preseason, and that caused them not to be mentally tough enough. You never want to hear a coach say his team isn't mentally tough. That's an indictment on everybody that puts on the uniform.
Did Mitch not play a snap in the 18 preseason?
Who?
Mitch.
I don't remember. I don't really. I think he did because was. I don't remember, though. But he had the same philosophy of not wanting to get guys hurt. The point is, you never want to hear a head coach say that our team isn't mentally tough enough.
No.
We're not good enough. We're not strong enough. We're not physical enough. That happens. To say we're not mentally tough enough, that's a problem.
Yeah. Like, you got to fight through, and you got to. There's always going to be some stuff happens that you're like, "Whoa, I didn't see that happening." You got to find a way to be better than that.
And if they weren't mentally tough enough coming out of the preseason because they didn't play in the preseason, shouldn't they have been mentally tough by week 8, week 9? I mean, this team just—they sucked last year. Let's be honest; it had nothing to do with their mental toughness from the preseason. But I'm glad he's sees that was the wrong way to go about it, and he's going to do it differently this year.
I hope it matters. Again, if you get decimated by injury, it won't matter. But if you are a reasonably healthy football team, there's enough talent here that this team should be really, really good. But again, they have to get quality play out of the quarterback spot, whoever that person is. If they don't, then they got no shot. All right. We'll hear more from Matt. We'll hear from Jeff Passan. We'll talk to Doug Glanville at 11. We'll be right back.
sports talk while you're on the clock. Cap and Company.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome back. ESPN 1000. Danny Zetterman, Chris Black. I'm David Kaplan. Don't forget Carmen, you're coming up at noon. Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock. I saw Sylvie this weekend on his bicycle in the neighborhood with his kids, and he looked good, man. He looks healthy. He looks like he's in a good place. So just keep fighting the good fight, Sylvie. We all got your back, man. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. One more cut from Matt Nagy. The question was asked, I think, by Mike Golic. How is Mitchell Trubisky handling the offseason?
He's dealt with these changes as best as you possibly could. And that's where, again, until you're in his shoes and you understand what he's been through, it's hard to understand that. And so, but we're there. We talk about it. We understand that, just like you said, when you win, you get all the credit. When you lose, you get all the blame. Now, how do you balance that? And that's together for us. It's the same thing for all of us. We have each other's backs. Now, there's a responsibility to win. We all need to win. That's what this is about. And so instead of, like, we move on. We don't hang on to the past. So 2018, that's gone. 2019, in our world, that's gone. What are we going to do to change 2020? And if you start worrying about what happened in the previous years, every year is so different. So he's been really great with how he's handled it. I love his focus right now. You know, we're not hands-on, but we are able to see the questions they ask. We can see where they're at in these meetings and how they go about with their teammates' interaction and with their coaches. And, you know, if there's a scale of 1 to 10 on where he's at, he's certainly at that 10, and I appreciate that. So now, Nick has also made that really, really good in regards to that room, because Nick is a really good person, and it's a healthy Zoom room right now. So when we get out onto the field, it'll be, you know, competitive, and the juices will be going. But I just know that, again, we have great coaches and good people, and that's usually how you try to make it work.
There you go. So that was Matt Nagy on the Golic and Wingo show this morning. I saw something this weekend where a teammate of Mitchell Trubisky's from high school, who's now a pitcher in the White Sox system, and he gave his thoughts on how Mitch is doing this weekend. Cade McClure is his name. And our White Sox Talk folks at NBC Sports Chicago put it up and talked about how he is doing, and said his confidence has never been higher. He is ready to go, and I'm glad to hear that. He said he's more motivated than ever. Here's what he said. Because we haven't heard from Mitch, and he said, Cade McClure, a White Sox pitching prospect who graduated a year after Trubisky at Mentor, Ohio High School, said he's been in contact with him this offseason. The vibe he's feeling for Mitchell Trubisky is all positive. All that despite that Nick Foles is now a Bear and the team declined the fifth-year option on Trubisky's original deal. I texted Mitch right after all that, and he's like, let's go, let's go. Mitch is a competitive and confident guy. I don't think he's too worried about Nick Foles. He's motivated more than ever. He's definitely not going to bow down to Foles. I know this. Mitch will fight, and he will compete. He had a down year, but his confidence is at an all-time high. When Mitch goes quiet, he's in full football mode. So hopefully that's right, and hopefully that leads to really good things for the Chicago Bears and for Mitchell Trubisky. Also, the MLB negotiations continue, and I think I speak for most of you, I won't say for all of you, that you could give a flying rip at this point. Just get it done or go away, and don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Here's Jeff Passan on SportsCenter on the players' proposal back to the owners.
It is a 114-game proposal by the Major League Baseball Players Association. Season would start on June 30th, end on October 31st. I think the most important point here, though, is not the size of the season, which is up for negotiation, but a caveat that they put in there about if there is no postseason this year, then they are willing to defer $100 million in salary for players making $10 million or more in the season. Now, it seems like, we don't know if there's going to be a postseason or not. We don't know if there's going to be a second wave of coronavirus. The point is, owners have talked about having cash flow issues, and one way to alleviate cash flow issues is for players to defer money to the future. Now, they want these monies paid with interest, so it is deferrals with sort of a twist on it. But that being said, it opens the door potentially for more deferrals in an MLB proposal back to the Players Association.
So that was Passan on SportsCenter. He also said how he thinks the owners will view the players' proposal. I'll play that in a second. This hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, over all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all. All right, this was Passan on that same interview when he was asked, how will the owners view this latest proposal back?
MLB is going to reject this proposal. Right. It's just an inevitability, like it was inevitable that the players rejected MLB's proposal on Tuesday that included the pretty drastic pay cuts for players up and down. But the issue is going to be on the owner side. Now, there is a group of owners. It's a small group at this point, but there's a group that has been fairly vocal about there not being a 2020 season and what the benefits would be to that. And the question is this proposal going to give them more ammunition, perhaps, going forward and being able to bring some others onto their side? Or are they going to see this from the players as an olive branch saying, hey, let's find somewhere to meet in the middle? We've got a pandemic going on right now. We've got a crisis going on across the country where cities are burning. And are we really going to be the ones who can't come to a deal right now? It's just more for baseball to consider than it has already. And if it wants to be the first professional sport in America to come back, then this week is going to be absolutely seminal.
He's exactly right. It's going to be absolutely seminal, or they will do irreparable harm to their sport. And as cities across the country burn and we have horrific things we're dealing with a pandemic, economic strife, and everything else, there will be a whole lot of people. I'm talking a whole lot of people. They're going to go, you know what? Screw you guys. Screw you. We can get every other sport back. Got the English Premier League coming back. Bundesliga back. NASCAR back. Golf back. NFL planning on it. NHL and NBA coming back. And you guys can't figure it out, good luck to you. Good luck. And we'll see what awaits you when you decide to figure a way back. Again, if it's a health thing, I get it. But if it's not a health thing, shame on you. Doug Glanville joins us in 2 minutes.